wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. Hope your family's got something special planned for you. I chose a text today that I got to confess is not really popular with a lot of modern day women. And I know that because I've been told that by the women. I'm not pulling that out of the air. I've entitled this one, Mom, Picks Your Wife. This is from Proverbs 31. We'll be looking at verses 10 through 31. The girls been reading it this morning. They just about read the whole text before the song service was over. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Father, we thank you for this special day when we celebrate the mothers. Father, I just ask that as I bring this word to your people, that we will have a new appreciation for godly women. Lord, I just ask that all hearts and minds may be clear this morning, and they may receive well this word of yours. I ask your blessing on the preaching of the word. Anoint me to bring this in a good way. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, many women today simply dismiss this description of a virtuous wife as a mother who thinks no woman is good enough for her son. Some of you know what that's like. If you remember the first time maybe your husband took you home to meet mom and you really wanted to make a good impression on her and she looked at you like a cur dog. You could tell by the way she eyeballed you that she didn't think you was going to cut the mustard. Now, amen, yeah. We got one honest man out there. You know, yeah, two, all right. And you know, we're madly in love and we want mom's approval so much. And, you know, mom didn't mean she just doesn't pick her apart, but there'll never be anyone good enough for her baby. And a lot of people, when they read this scripture, especially women, I've heard this commented on more than once in the time I've been in ministry, the time I've been a Christian, they don't like this passage. Who can live up to this? And that's why I entitled this one, Mom Picks Your Wife, because this is a king named Lemuel, and it's the queen mother who's talking to him. So if you look at it from that view, you could say, well, mama's setting her standards pretty high. Actually, I think it's a woman who's given some godly advice and counsel. And while it's true, I've never met a woman yet that's lived up to every one of these things, I see no harm in ladies trying to strive to it. You know, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, God made the man said the man gave names to all the animals, which convinces me he wasn't some cave dweller who grunted, you know, for the first 10,000 years of his existence. And he made the woman, and according to Dr. Jack Hiles, the Hebrew says he made her to complete the man. And God looked at his creation and said, it's not finished yet. So he made the woman as a completer of man. And in the fall, he told the woman, your desire will be for your husband. And the Hebrew says, your desire will be to rule over your husband. And God said, that's not going to happen. And if you believe the lie of the world today, it tells women that in order to be happy, their lives need to be about themselves. You know, they belittle motherhood. They belittle a wife, a housewife. I remember a show several years ago I saw, and I generally don't watch these shows, but I think it was Oprah Winfrey had some women there from two career families who quit their jobs and went back home to be homemakers. And they said, actually, when we thought about it, we really didn't need this extra money, and we were missing out on our family. Our children were growing up while we were busy trying to earn another living, and they said, we just felt like we're missing out on important things for money. So we quit our jobs and we became homemakers. And there were some feminists in the audience that got up and got irate with them and said, you have set women's movements back 50 years. And they belittled these women, and it angered me. I thought, number one, who are you women to tell these ladies how they should conduct themselves? You know, the feminists raised Cain that the church is archaic and it's a patriarchal system. We're always trying to keep women under our thumbs. And if you really want to be a today's woman, you need to think like we do. Well, what gives them the right to tell you how to set your standards? Just like they get mad at the other side trying to tell them they think they're wrong. And I'm not here today to put women back in the kitchen. You know, that's not my goal. But as we do with scriptures, men and women both, we'll read something and say, well, that's impossible. Nobody can attain to that, so why even try? And we've been studying discipleship on Sunday nights. And Mr. Chan, I almost said doctor, he's not a doctor. Francis Chan said that the one thing that prevails in the church today that was not in the early church was individualism. And it's all about us. I don't go to that church because I don't like their music. Well, they're not singing to you, sweetie. They're singing to the Lord, you know. Or I don't like the way they dress, and I don't like this. Most people, when they complain about the church, if you'll listen to them, it's all me-oriented. I don't like it. It's not got what I want. I saw a thing on the internet, a study they did, and reasons that people left the church. And every one of them, without exception, was they didn't do what I thought they ought to be doing. You know, I came in, they didn't have child care. Well, I understand that. But they didn't offer these kind of classes. They didn't allow women to do things in the church. Or the men ran the church and we didn't like it. Well, what gives the right for people to set God's standards? He's already established them. And I want to say to you, ladies, you don't have to have a college degree to be worth something in God's eyes. If you are a godly woman of faith, the Bible says of a quiet spirit, that's very precious to Him. Now, I'm going to read you some from Matthew Henry's commentary as he breaks down this description of the virtuous woman. And as I said, very often the women that complain to me says, nobody can live up to that. Well, okay, I'll give you that. It's just like in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I don't know how many people I've had tell me, nobody's perfect but God, so we shouldn't even try to be perfect, you know, like Jesus didn't know what He's talking about. But a word for perfect is complete. You see, God is love. And Jesus' point was, God causes the rain to fall on good people and bad people. He waters their crops. He gives them food. He cares for the good and the bad. He told the prophet Ezekiel, I do not delight in the death of the wicked. That's God saying that. He said, I don't take pleasure in that. The Bible does say He rejoices at the death of His saints. You know, that's something. When we lose saints in the church, we weep and heaven's shouting. God says, I'm happy because they're coming home. Well, we hear these passages like Jesus said and say, well, nobody can be perfect, so why should I even try? Well, you're talking about doing this in your own power. You're talking about doing this under your own steam and your definition of perfection instead of God's. So I want to look at these attributes of a virtuous woman that the Queen Mother gave to her son, and let's look at them through God's eyes if we can. The first point that many Matthew Henry makes is that she can be trusted. He said a good wife can be trusted, and he will leave his wife to manage for him. He is happy in her and makes it her constant business. She makes it her constant business to do him good. You know, ladies, you can build or destroy your man by the way you treat him. Men may act like they don't need anybody else's advice or opinions, or they don't care what people think, but you know what really matters to them is what their wives think of them, how their wives treat them. You can make your man or you can tear him down. What a high calling. You're there to support him. A completer. Yeah, but he gets all the limelight. That's kind of the crux. Well, he gets all the limelight. Well, you're there to support him when he gets the limelight. Now, men, if we would love our wives as Christ loved the church, there wouldn't be any feminism. The women wouldn't have any need of it. So we got a long ways to go, baby. The second point he makes is she is one who takes pains in her duties and takes pleasure in them. So she's a mother, not begrudgingly. I can remember sometimes when the pork chops made it around the table once, and mom might not eat a pork chop, saying I'm really not that hungry, so one of the kids would get it. I can remember that sacrifice. Or the same with desserts. She said, well, I'm really not that hungry. You can have mine. And I knew the whole time she was doing it because she was pleased to share it with the kids if we didn't have enough for her and the kids to eat. It says also that instead of buying what she may not be able to afford, she makes what she does turn to good account by prudent management. We're all at fault with that today, church. Look at the credit cards. There's at least twice a week I get prompts from the credit card companies. Hey, you're just our kind of guy, and we want to give you this $1,500 credit line. And what you do is you end up going out buying stuff you really don't need. It's stuff you want. It's pretty handy when you got that little plastic thing there. But then when the bills come due, you start thinking, you know what? I shouldn't have done this because I really can't take on any extra payments. But you're hooked. And Matthew Henry says the commentary in his commentary, this wife doesn't go out and buy things, then later considers whether she can afford it or not. She's frugal. She uses forethought. Nowhere in the Scriptures does God think that women are less intelligent than men. And that's kind of the way they're made to feel at times. But when you look at these standards that God places for a godly woman, he says she has forethought. You know, she considers what she does before she does it. I can remember my grandmother used to love to sew, and she'd make us boys, especially she'd make us shirts, and I was so proud of those shirts. Boy, I'd wear them to school. She made me one, and she embroidered a wolf head on the back of it, right between my shoulders. I wore that thing till it fell apart. And it pleased her to do things like that. She loved working with her hands. And some of the boys made fun of my shirt. You know, it was a homemade shirt. I didn't care. That shirt was worth more to me than all the clothes they had on. And that's the way that she was. She was a giver. She says she looks well to the ways of her household, that she may oblige all to do their duty to God and one another as well as to her. Mom, you set an example in the house how to serve the Lord. Like it or not, in the Christian marriage, the way you treat your husband reflects on the way you treat the Lord. Now, people don't like that. A friend of mine that was in psychology told me that men get their perception of God from their fathers. Well, where do women get it? From mom. Your children are watching you, mom. Do you profess to be a lover of Jesus Christ? Then you need to conduct yourself as thus. Because children understand a lot more than you think. You know, especially when you got them going to Sunday school. I'm going to tell you something, Mom. I can remember before my mother was saved, she used to send me to church. Always made sure us kids was in church, you know. And God bless her for that. But I remember when my mother accepted Christ over at the old Christian church, and then she started taking me to church. Mom, that's one of the greatest gifts you'll ever give your kids, is to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I watched my mom grow in Christ. I remember my mom wasn't a Christian. I remember when she became a Christian, and I remember how it changed her. And instead of sending me to church, she took me to church. And we complain today, you know, we have our bus ministry, and yeah, we're just a babysitting service. I don't care. I'll get them here. Let's get them here any way we can. Maybe Mom and Dad will come, maybe they won't. But let's take a chance on that. Let's get those kids here if Mom and Dad won't come. But Mom, if you're here today, I'm going to tell you something. There's no greater gift you can give than to train your child that they need to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday, that they need to be here to worship, that life's not all about them. You can't be the center of the universe. She is intent upon giving as upon giving, and does it freely and cheerfully. She's a giver, not always a taker. There's so much I hear today in this world. What about me? It's all about me. What's in it for me? And there are men who have adjusted the gospel of Jesus Christ to make it more attractive to people by telling it just like that. Well, you need to follow Jesus. Here's what's in it for you. It's almost like that one game show, you know, let's make a deal. And you got your pitch man, your preacher standing there saying, if you will come to Jesus Christ, look what's behind door number one. You know, God's going to give you this. He's going to give you divine health. God's going to give you prosperity and riches and more money than Croesus if you'll just come to Jesus Christ. God's not that concerned with how much money you have. He doesn't even really be concerned whether you get to eat three times a day or not. In Jesus' day, most working people ate once a day. He doesn't say he'll give you off everything you want. He said he'll give you what you need. I heard a preacher one time, he's talking about he was doing a revival in England, and he was excited. He got to go to England, evangelist. And he said the offerings they took up were pretty minimal. And he said he had been riding a bus back and forth from the church. And he said he was out of money for the bus fare, and he said, I'm going to trust God tonight that they're going to give enough money that I can even take a taxi cab home. He was some 5 miles away. And the preacher said, I prayed about it. I claimed it in the name of Jesus. Said, Father, you'll meet my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, I went and preached the meeting. And when they took up the offering, he said, I didn't even have enough for bus fare. And he said, I was walking back to my hotel, and I said, Lord, I thought you said you'd meet my needs. And he said, the Holy Spirit said, I do. You're getting fat. You need to walk. Yeah, be careful what you pray for. I shared this story at Mom's funeral, and it's always moved me. It was one of the most flagrant expressions of Christianity I ever saw. You know, you hear about the love of Jesus and how he cared for people, and he healed the sick, and he fed the hungry, and he helped the poor, and he raised the crippled. I got in trouble on the bus. Go figure. I was a good kid. But I got in trouble on the bus, and the bus driver, I was 16. He said he can't ride the bus anymore. I think I hit somebody or something. I don't remember. So Mom thought it was a good idea if she took me to school and picked me up. That's embarrassing, guys, when you're 16 and you're trying to be cool and your mommy pulls up and honks the horn. You know. And she thought, this way I'll keep you out of trouble. Well, there was an old man at the nursing home here at Mansfield. They'd let him go out and get the mail every day. And one day it was cold. Mom noticed he was out there, and she said, he doesn't have a coat. He doesn't have anything like that. And she went to the variety store here and bought him a stocking hat and these nice gloves. And she stopped by there at the nursing home and said, I'd like to give them to this gentleman because I noticed he doesn't have them. They told her, well, he doesn't have any family here. He doesn't get visitors. He's real quiet, didn't speak much. And Mom said, well, give them to him, but don't tell him who gave them. Just tell him it's a gift. And the next time we went by, the old man had on that hat and them mittens, and he was smiling. And Mom waved at him every time she went by, and he would wave, just real somber. This time when he waved, he was smiling from ear to ear. Boy, just waving that old red mitten up there like a flag. And I remembered when Jesus said, when you've done it to one of the least of these, you did it for me. She didn't want to be in the limelight. She didn't want people to know it. And that was still one of the most flagrant expressions I've ever seen of Christianity in action. The Bible says that this woman is bound by the law of love and kindness. It's written in her heart, and it shows itself in what she says. You know, Mom, you can form your children. The Bible says to teach them the way they should go when they're young, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. And I know that the man is the spiritual head of the house, but Mom, you're the teacher. You're the one that's with them most of the time, especially the little ones. I remember a lesson I learned when I was 5 years old. Never forget it. I seen a neighbor friend of mine tell his mother no. She wanted him to do something. He said no. And she stood there and tried to argue with him. And I thought, that's pretty cool, because Mom had me working when I was 5 years old, helping around the house. So I was watching Cat and Kangaroo one day, and Mom was making one of the beds. And she said, Rick, come here and hold this corner down. I said, no. I hear the brum, brum, brum coming across the floor. And I look up, and she's standing in front of me. She reached up and slapped me in the mouth. She said, what was that? I said, I'm on my way. Now, they call that child abuse today. But you know what? I never mouthed off to that woman again. You want to get my dander up, let me hear some young person mouthing off to their mom and dad. I just want to cut a switch and say, here, take them out back where there's no witnesses, and make them do that tiptoe dance for a minute or two. They'll learn not to mouth. But you're told today, well, that's not very Christian-like. That's not very godly. You shouldn't hit your child. The Bible says, he who spares the rod hates his son. My mom and daddy loved me. They were not rod sparers. You know. The key there is discipline. Okay? Discipline. You need to be consecutive in your discipline. In fact, that's how Mom can train you to fear the Lord. If you don't fear Mom and Dad's authority, how are you going to fear God's? Mom and Dad. I know this is Mother's Day, but I got to drag Dad into it too. You ever tell your kid, if you do that again, you're going to get a whipping, and they do it again, they don't get a whipping? Guess what you just told them? I'm not a person of my word, neither is God. I was just trying to bluff you. Give you some good advice, Mom. Don't bluff in poker or in life. If you tell that kid he's going to get a whipping, give him a whipping. Then you love on him after you whip him and you explain why. Or after you set him in the corner, do that timeout. I wish they'd have had that when I was a kid. My folks didn't know anything about timeout. Never heard of it. Never heard of ADHD either. Dad had a way to get your attention if you had attention deficit disorder. It was a leather belt about that long. And buddy, when he pulled that thing out, it was like the rod of God. Just, oh my, you got my attention. Above all, she fears the Lord. Amen. That's something I appreciate about this description. You know, you could look at it and say, this is a mom that's just setting the standards way high because she doesn't think any woman's good enough for her baby. But when she puts that in there, she fears the Lord. Then you know Mom's looking out for your best. I tell the young men in the class Wednesday night, the teens, God will bring you the woman He wants you to have if you'll seek Him first. The Bible says, seek the kingdom of heaven first. All these things will be added to you. Guys out there somewhere, if God intends for you to marry, He's got a woman in mind that's just for you if you'll wait. Wait on Him. Sometimes, church, I think we need to go back to arranged marriages. I do. We need to start making marriage contracts when they're about 3 or 4 years old, and Mom and Dad promise each other our kids are going to marry when they get older, and then we need to watch them. Don't let them date. I'm serious. Don't let them go out and run around with other people and date. If they go out, do it with a chaperone. What's wrong with that? Well, you got to let a kid be their self. Well, why don't you give them dynamite and a can of gas, say, here, go play in the yard. Because that's the same thing to me. She's a godly woman. She fears the Lord. Matthew Henry writes, "Beauty recommends none to God, nor is any proof of wisdom and goodness, but it has deceived many a man who made his choice of a wife by it. But the fear of God reigning in the heart is the beauty of the soul. It lasts forever." I just finished Proverbs in my Bible reading, and there's a passage I read that I get tickled at every time. It says, "A beautiful woman without discretion is like a gold ring in the snout of a hog." And when I read that the other day, I thought, you know where a hog spends 99% of his time? His nose? That's not a very flattering description, ladies. And God made beauty. Solomon said, "A beautiful woman who doesn't have discretion, she's like a gold ring in a pig's nose." Ugh. How many of you ladies know that God made you in His image? He did. I was talking to some ministers one night. We got talking about that, and I said, that proves to me God has a feminine side, because it said He made man and woman in His image. So where did the feminine attributes come from? From God. Where did the male attributes come from? From God. Why did He divide them between two people? I don't know. Maybe we couldn't have handled it if He hadn't. But He has a purpose, because the two complement each other. I heard a study done several years ago. The psychologists studied the male and female brain, and they said in the areas where the male brain is dominant, the female brain is weaker. But in the areas where the female brain is dominant, the male brain is weaker. And the conclusion these secular psychologists came to, that in a family, when children have mom and dad, they have the benefit of a whole brain. God knew what He was doing. He knows exactly what He's doing. Now, I want to leave you with a thought that Mr. Henry brought up that I never thought about, and I included it in this. Everyone ought to desire this honor that comes from God, and according to this standard, we all ought to regulate our judgments. This description, "Let all women daily study who desire to be truly beloved and respected, useful and honorable." This passage is to be applied to individuals, but it may also be applied to the church of God, which is described as a virtuous spouse. God, by His grace, has formed from among sinful men a church of true believers to possess all the excellences here described. I never thought of it like that. The church is called the Bride of Christ. And the commentator, Matthew Henry, says you can derive this from this final chapter in Proverbs, that men, we can't look at them and go, "Yeah, see there, you got to live up to every one of them things on the list." He said that God can look at His church, His bride, and say, "Yeah, this is where you need to set your goals and ideals." Why do we want to start out defeated? We do that so often. Be perfect, for your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, nobody's perfect. A virtuous woman, who can find? Well, nobody can be completely virtuous. Well, why do you want to settle for second best? Strive for what God has for you. And I want to say again to you moms today, especially you who are raising a family and you're working and you're out there with your nose to the grindstone, there's no higher calling from God than that of motherhood. I believe that with all my heart. Would you stand with me this morning? When you look at these qualities, as I say, don't write them off. Look at them, and as a Christian, say, those are the things I want to strive to do. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and you'd like to join yourself to Christ, I would invite you to come forward while the song of invitation is sung, and I'll be glad to visit with you and talk to you about it. Otherwise, I hope you have a blessed day, a great Mother's Day. I hope your family does something for you.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou my ransom be.
Thank you.